Hi, this is Corey Turner, and along with my wife Simone, we are the senior pastors of Newmark Church. I wanted to thank you for listening to our podcast today. You're about to hear a message from one of our team that we pray builds your faith and empowers you to follow Jesus more closely. Enjoy the message.
You got your Bibles? Good. Some of you got your phone. You put it on Do Not Disturb. Good. That's great. Open up to Ezekiel 47. Awesome. Wow, that's really big. That's great. So, context this real quickly, because we're jumping in to the end of Ezekiel. Like, this is the end of this book. So, there's a prophet, Ezekiel. He actually was in exile when God came to him, and he was turning the age of 30. He was actually from a priestly family. And so he's at this point, and there's a lot that could be going on for him as a son raised in a priestly family because he's in exile. And so there's a bit going on for him because at the age of 30, it was often where priests or sons of priests that were in the priestly family would actually take on new weight and new authority. And yet this man who probably for about 30-something years was stepping into a point where he's in exile. And so the opportunity to actually be a minister of the Lord had been stripped and removed from him. So you can imagine at his 30th birthday, he's sitting there thinking of all the things that he had expected in God was going to happen, and yet he's in the midst of exile, actually grieving and mourning over that which probably would never happen. And he's thinking about that, and then God comes to him, and not only does he continue to actually anoint him as a priest, but he calls him as a prophet. And one of the central themes of Ezekiel is God prophesying to his people that they had actually forsaken the very focus point of his covenant with them, and it was his temple. And not just his temple, but because his temple represented the place that his spirit dwelled. And so literally, as you read through this book, over and over and over again, we see the grace and mercy of God evident. Not just the judgment, but the grace and mercy of God. Because for hundreds of years, God had said, hey, Israel, hey, sons and daughters, come back to this place of worshiping me and me alone. Over and over again, from the judges to the prophets, he's calling his people to repentance, and they continued to rebel against him. And yet there comes a point where God prophesies through Ezekiel, hey, today's the day, no more, no more, and his spirit leaves the temple and goes. But then we actually come through, and Ezekiel begins to prophesy to the people. God's repentance, their repentance would then become God's revival and restoration. And in Ezekiel 47, literally, it's second to last chapter of the book, we see something so profound, but we need to understand the context of where the people had been, what God had speaking the entire time, and then what he actually wants to say to us through what he was saying to Israel at the time. So I'm going to read from verse 1. It says, then he, so Ezekiel, there's a angel of the Lord, there's a man that comes before him, it's an angel of the Lord, comes before him and begins to actually describe to Ezekiel the way that this new temple was going to be built, the way that this new temple was going to be set up, the way that they would actually worship God, and literally the dimensions of the temple, so much detail was in that. And so he's describing all these things, and then it comes to verse 1, he says, and the angel of the Lord brought me, Ezekiel, back to the door of the temple, and behold, water, which represents the Spirit of God. Water was issuing from below the threshold of the temple toward the east, for the temple faced east. The east gate was actually where the glory of God re-entered the temple. And in the vision that Ezekiel had, after the glory of God re-entered the east temple, no one could actually go in or out that gate. The princes of Israel could stand at that gate, but they couldn't actually leave that way, because that was only for the glory of God, because he had now entered back in. And so there's something really significant about this, because he says, below the threshold of the temple towards the east, for the temple faced east, where the glory of God, his presence, had actually returned back to dwell amongst the people. So the glory of God was literally manifesting into water, his spirit. The water was flowing down from below the south end of the threshold of the temple, south of the altar. And then he brought me out by way of the north gate and led me around on the outside of the outer gate that faces toward the east. And behold, the water was trickling out on the south side. Going on eastward with a measuring line in his hand, the man measured 1,000 cubits. And then he led me through the water, and it was ankle deep. Again, he measured 1,000 and led me through the water, and it was knee deep. Again, he measured 1,000 and led me through the water, and it was waist deep. Again, he measured 1,000, and it was a river that I could not pass through, for the water had risen. It was deep enough to swim in. Some of us have been swimming in it today. A river that could not be passed through. And he, the angel of the Lord, the man that was before him, said to me, "Son of man, have you seen this?" Interesting question to ask. We'll come back to that. Then he led me back to the bank of the river, and as I went back, I saw on the bank of the river very many trees on the one side and on the other. And he said to me, "This water flows towards the eastern region and goes down into the Arabah and enters the sea. When the water flows into the sea, the water will become fresh. And listen to this, wherever the river goes, every living creature that swarms will live. And there will be very many fish, for this water goes there." You need to just take some of the things I've spoken into already and carry it along into the scripture, okay? "That the waters of the sea may become fresh. So everything will live, listen, where the river goes. Fishermen will stand beside the sea from En Gedi to Enaglaim. It will be a place for the spreading of nets. Its fish will be of very many kinds, like the fish of the great sea. But its swamps and marshes will not become fresh. They are to be left for salt. And on the banks, on both sides of the river, there will grow all kinds of trees for food. Their leaves will not wither, nor their fruit fail. It will not fail, but they will bear fresh fruit every month, because the water for them flows from the sanctuary. Their fruit will be for food, and their leaves for healing." There is more. There is more. There is more. The point we feel like we're going to explode in the power of God, there's more. And today is a divine moment in the history of eternity for you and for this location. I am on an agenda today. Literally. And there's three things that specifically God wants to highlight today. And the first is that there is more of his presence to be experienced. There is more. One of the key things in this scripture we see is that there were divine points of increase, tangible points of increase that happened. And what we see is that as the water represents the Spirit of God, and the river represents the plans of God and where he's actually going and the things of the kingdom of God. In the river of God, there were tangible points of increase that happened. I'm going to read a couple of things real quickly. It says, "The man measured 1,000 cubits, then he led me through the water." Listen to these words. "It was ankle deep. Again, he measured 1,000, led me through the water. It was knee deep. Again, he measured 1,000 and led me through the water, and it was waist deep. Again, he measured 1,000 and it was a river that I could not pass through." To bring a little bit of visual, so the context of even the length that's being used, so he speaks about 1,000 cubits, which is about 533 meters. And so the full length of what he was walking out was just over 2 kilometers. So if you can visualize that for a second, 533, whatever the measurement was, because I've got U.S. metrics in my head, meters, that he was using. Just imagine for a moment, visually, he gets led to the point where water was flowing. He's not yet in it, but it's there. And as you read this, it says, and he led me. Now, what it doesn't say is that Ezekiel followed, but he did, because he continued in the leading of the angel of the Lord. So it's there, water's trickling. He steps in. Oh, that's a little bit cold. And it's ankle deep. Some of us go to pools and we actually don't fully get in because it's a little bit too cold. But we're okay with sitting at a point of ankle deep. I do it all the time with the kids when we go to the pools. And so you get in, you get ankle deep. I love kids' pools because they're like the perfect temperature. And you get ankle deep and then you sit on the side and you're like, wow, this is really nice because I'm cool but not cold. I'm kind of warm, but still cool. And so you're ankle deep in it. Some of you might be here for the first day. Some of you might have been in church for the last 4 decades. But time isn't a determination of how deep you are in the things of God. It's determined by your obedience and following God himself. But there he is, ankle deep. Angel measured out 533 meters. Ezekiel could actually see him because he was following him. But then he followed and he began to walk. And as he's walking, I don't know if you've walked into the ocean. I mean, hopefully you have. You're so close to Mentone Beach and so many other beaches. And this is what we'd actually do with our kids, because there's points where they're literally, they go out so far. And so I'd start back here where it's ankle deep. I'd start walking with Zephaniah. And by the point that I start walking a little bit in, it's like, wow, what was cold actually is, it's okay. I've become adjusted to it. I've become adjusted to the temperature of the water. And then there hits a point and it's like, whoa, it's just hit my knees. Can you just imagine that? Ezekiel's walking and he's actually adjusted to the thing of God, the river, the presence. He's adjusted to it. But then 533 meters later, it hits his knees. And it wouldn't have just been like, boop, a step. It would have been progressive. But there was a tangible point where he realized and recognized that it had gone from his ankles to his knees. There's sometimes you walk through the ocean where you're walking and it has been increasing, but then there's a point where the dune of sand actually takes a step down. You're like, whoa, okay, I'm knee deep right now. And then he keeps on walking and he starts adjusting just like we would in water. And all of a sudden he gets to a point and he recognizes, wow, the depth of this has been waist deep. And as guys, sometimes we kind of like hop into it if it's cold, because you know what I mean. And so it's waist deep and he's standing there waist deep in the water. But then the angel Lord keeps going. Can you just, like, we need to visualize this for a moment and then actually bring the context to us today. But he's walking through the waters that he had been adjusted to, but then there's a point of increase. Are you with me today? And then the angel Lord goes out. I can imagine he's like, man, this is a long walk the Lord's taking me on. And he starts walking waist deep in the water. And then it came to a point where it was shoulder deep and then too deep. And he's like, wow, I've lost control of being able to follow the angel of the Lord. And it says it's too deep to pass, and yet he could swim in it. So he's literally having to float. It's a good visual right now. He's having to like float in the river. But there was a point of increase where he recognized far out, I've adjusted so much in the things of God. I'm now at a point of something I cannot control. The word for you today is some of you are still ankle deep in the things of God, but there's more. There is more. And the beautiful thing that you actually need to picture is your Heavenly Father, the angel of the Lord going before you, but the Holy Spirit not just going before you, but actually being with you. Saying, come on. Come on. Can't you just see God's grace and goodness in that? I mean, sometimes we literally need to just dive in the deep end. Some of you just come into the deep end today. When you walked in, you're like, whoa, what's going on here? Someone just pushed you in. But often our life of faith is in the grace of God. There's such an adjustment in the things of God where we get to a point where we realize, oh my word, I'm not being put off by that anymore. Oh my word, I'm actually praying for people believing they're going to be healed. Man, this desire to pray is so strong that I'm bringing me and my kids to 9 a.m. because I just want more of God. The things that sometimes seem to actually rub against us, we can continue to adjust in as we continue to keep on walking. But there are divine points of increase that happen, just like in Ezekiel. And some of you today, the Spirit of God is coming before you and saying, are you ready to just keep on walking? You're going to get a little wet, but don't worry, I'm with you. See, the point of experiencing more of God is limited by your discomfort. The point of your discomfort in the move of God ends up becoming the amount of God that you are actually ready to encounter. I think it was like 2016, maybe 2017, somewhere around there. And we were doing revival services at City Location. And there's this period where I'd come into the year and I was praying, saying, God, I want more of you. I was actually becoming really dissatisfied with just the rhythm of going to church and ministering or chatting with people and having great conversations, getting up on Monday, reading my word and praying, and then going to life group. I actually became really dissatisfied. And I was like, God, you literally brought me out of the pits of hell. And I don't want to just go through the rhythm of religion. I want to see signs and wonders, not to seek after the signs and wonders, but because it was signs and wonders that actually awakened my heart to the reality of Jesus Christ. And I became so dissatisfied. And so I began crying out, God, more, God, more, God, more. I did seasons of prayer and fasting that time, God, more, God, more, God, more. And then there came a point in time where God used a guest ministry, and he was at a revival service, and he starts detailing his story of being a skeptic and yet going into a place where the things of God was happening and actually wanting to go back to his church the following week to actually condemn what was happening in that church. And yet God in his love and his kindness actually absolutely smashed him. And he got so drunk in the Holy Spirit, the guy brought him up. He was a mumbling mess on the stage. Couldn't speak, couldn't stand. And in a moment of God's goodness and sovereignty, he so encountered God past his discomfort that he was irrevocably changed from that point. So this man was standing on stage and he was speaking into stuff and speaking into stuff. And I'm in that room saying, God, I want more. This is a revival service. Why are we not seeing healings? Why are we not seeing increase with salvations? Why are we not seeing this? And I just felt him, when I stopped, just say, but do you want more of me? I'm like, yes. He's like, no matter what? I was like, yes. And the moment I said that, he said, I want all the pastors and staff to come up front. See, some of us can encounter God in the back. Sometimes we actually just need to come up front. We need to step onto the holy carpet. I actually love it. It's so good. And he calls us forward, and then people started falling as he was praying for people. And I thought I was actually okay with the move of God until I saw that. Because the day that I encountered Jesus Christ as Lord and Savior, a guy came up and he prayed for me. And he literally, I know Jake, so this is okay. I'm not laying hands upon him forcefully. He came up to me and what felt like to me, because I was very hypocritical of church, what felt like to me is that he went like this. Looking back, I think he just went like that. But that happened in that moment and I stood back and was like, okay, I know what's going on here. I want Jesus, but the other stuff is actually just hype. It's not really things of God. And then 6 or 7 years later, I'm at a point of crying out for more of God, and people start falling. And I'm like, oh, am I okay with this? I don't know if I actually want more of God. But yet my heart was like, yes, yes, God. And so I stepped up there, and literally the moment that I thought to myself, God, I will be undignified for you, it was like he stretched out his finger. His finger didn't even touch me, and I was boom. On the ground. I think genuinely in the things of God, I was going from an ankle deep moment to knee deep. And then another time that night, someone prayed for me, boom, I was gone. But my entire spine was healed. My ankles healed. My knee had a condition in my knee since I was about in fifth or sixth grade called Osgood-Slaughter disease. Because of my height, the tendon was actually pulling my bone apart. I had not seen that actually healed. And so I was getting taller, but I was getting more hurted by it all. And so yet in that moment, I woke up the next day, the loosest that I had ever felt since the point of recognizing the issue in my knee. The point of my discomfort had actually been a limitation, but the moment I said, God, will you take me deeper? And then guess what? I actually had to step. And I had to keep on walking. He met my point of hunger because I was willing to go past my discomfort. And then Revival Conference 2019, this same man, God uses the same people sometimes. Maybe I'm here for the 150th time for you today, and I'm here with another word of God to you that there's more in God. In 2019 Revival Conference, this same man was ministering in the leader's session, and he began to speak about undignified worship. And my heart was, God, yes, I want more. I want more. And then that thought came back again. Are you willing to look silly before other people? The first time I'd been in a room full of people that were falling. And then this point, there's leaders. There's like people that I respect around about me. And I realized that in my heart, there was still a huge barrier of the fear of man. And it actually was stopping me from encountering the Lord of Lords and the King of Kings. And again, my heart's cry in that moment was, God, no matter what, no matter what, no matter what. And then boom, God hit me. And I was on my knees. I was like snotty weeping. And then at a point, I was like joyfully laughing. Why am I describing this for you today? Because it's actually really normal to be moved by God supernaturally. And sometimes we actually just need to submit to the things of God. And I'm sitting there and I was laughing and I was on my knees and I was enjoying the presence of God so much. And then I could hear people laughing at me. What's happening to that guy? What's going on with him? Hannah, what happened to Dawn? I was like in these seats and I was falling forward and people were like laughing and all that kind of stuff. And you know what? I had this thought enter my head. I can actually sit up right now if I want to, or I can just submit. And I was like, you know what? I don't care. The presence of God is so enjoyable right now. I'm going to laugh to the point where people might think I'm even seeking attention. Literally, I don't know, I think it was like 45 minutes later, they're stacking chairs, and I'm hearing people stack chairs and laughing at me, and I'm just sitting there, and I'm like, God, do I get up? He's like, do you want to? I'm like, no, not really. And so I just stayed there, and I was laughing, and I was laughing. What was happening? I was going from knee deep to waist deep. And some of you need to hear today, because it's been a challenge point at different moments where I've encountered God, where I'm literally sitting there or laying there fully having carpet time, and I can hear what people are actually saying. And I'm actually in control of my body, and thoughts go through my head. Are you seeking attention right now? Are you seeking this? Are you seeking that? And every time I'd say, God, I don't care. I want more of you. And there are some literal times where we actually just need to get up and sit back down. But sometimes we just need to embrace the depth that God has just taken us into, and it's in the point of our discomfort. We step out where there's a point of increase. And I could go on and on and on and on. Where are you at today? You're ankle deep. There's no guilt, condemnation. You're experiencing things of God, but there's more. You're knee deep, you're waist deep. There is more. Maybe for you, your point of discomfort is something that God's highlighted and it's in your heart. Maybe your point of discomfort is who you won't forgive, who you won't pray for. Did you know Jesus sent the disciples to Samaria, and there is religious and racial hostility between Jews and Samaritans? Maybe there's a people group you just have said to God, I'll go anywhere but not there. I feel like there's dormant callings in this room today. And it's dormant because you're not willing to get out of your comfort. But the point we become comfortable and more comfortable with being uncomfortable is the point where actually we'll realize and experience an increase of the things of God. You with me today? There is more to be experienced in the presence of God. There is more to the experience than just your own experience. There's more of the presence of God to be experienced, but there's also more of God's presence than just your experience. Verse 5, it says, again, he measured 1,000, and it was a river that I could not pass through, for the water had risen. It was deep enough to swim in, a river that could not be passed through. And he said to me, son of man, have you seen this? Then he led me back to the bank of the river. And as I went back, I saw on the bank of the river very many trees on the one side and on the other. And he said to me, this water flows towards the eastern region, goes down into the Arabah and enters the sea. When the water flows into the sea, the water will become flesh. He said to me, son of man, have you seen this? And then he led me back to the bank of the river. As I went back, I saw on the bank of the river. Some of us are actually really okay in actually being just uncontrolled in the things of God and so drunk in the Spirit of God or so moved by the Spirit of God. And yet I feel like God wants to call us to this place and yet then also call us higher. He said, son of man, have you seen this? It's a really interesting thing to ask somebody that's just walked about 2 kilometers in a river of God. You with me today? If we've walked 2 kilometers, you can bet we've seen the road. We've felt it on our feet. We're probably asking ourselves the question, why didn't I drive today? Because I've been walking. I know you might not like being like Michael and Allison who walk here. How long is it from your house? About 2 kilometers? Less. You need to move further away. Just kidding. Seriously though, he says, son of man, have you seen this? He didn't ask, have you experienced this? Because he knew he just did, because he followed. He experienced it, but he says, have you seen it? Some of us have experienced the things of God, but we actually need to perceive the things of God. And so in the midst of his experience, he actually brings him back. Like from here back, but not back to the sanctuary, back to the bank. Some point they stopped and he got back to the bank. And then he had a vision to see down the 2 kilometers of the river of God. And he gives him a perspective and a perception of the things of God that moved past his experience and actually became a perception of what God's presence and experience right then was for. Last year before we left, I had the opportunity to travel with Pastor Corey to a conference in Adelaide, and it was called the Holy Spirit Conference. So I was like, yep, I'm receiving more of that. Let's go. One of the last days that we're there, again, I'm crying out, God, I want more. See, I'm so hungry for more of God because I recognize that on a daily, weekly, monthly basis. And it's not just conferences, it's daily intimacy. And yet there's points of our desperation that actually cost us to go to a conference or cost us time away from maybe a day or two from our family. And it actually will cost us to actually enter into the divine moments. But I went to this conference one last day, so I was saying, God, I want more, I want more. And again, I was prayed for and I was out. I was so overcome by the power of God. And I went back to my chair and I was being so moved by the heart of God. And there's so many things I could speak into. But one thing I feel for today is in the midst of encountering God, I heard once sirens outside of the building. Not coming to the building, going past it. And I didn't register at first. And then within, I don't know how long, because time was gone, my watch was dead, didn't know what was going on. But within a matter of time, again, while I'm encountering, experiencing God, and there's a download happening, another siren goes by the building. The second time I felt the Holy Spirit say, what you're encountering here has to go out there. I was in the midst of an uncontrollable, impassable moment of encountering God, and yet he brings me back to a moment of perception to realize that there's more to the experience than just your experience. You hear me today? I know we say, you know, it doesn't matter if you did or didn't go to a revival conference. Some of you, it does matter that you didn't go. Hannah's not here, so there's no guilt and shame about it. But some of you actually needed to go. And I say that because I feel like there is a tension point in your discomfort that you were unwilling to step into. And it might have been something this, something that. No guilt, no condemnation, no shame. I'm just feeling the Holy Spirit calling you higher. And it wasn't for your encounter. It's actually for other people to encounter something. Now, the beautiful thing is God comes again. And so you don't need to wait until next year for a revival conference, but there is something that God will ask you to do. And so if that is you today and you knew that actually there's a desire in your heart to go to a revival conference, and look, friends, it's not going to be always convenient. Traveling 3 weeks with a 5.5-year-old is not convenient. Bringing him with me everywhere I go is not convenient. Trying to have a conversation with someone, dad, not convenient. Going to a volunteer impartation night where there's no kids care because the kids team needs to be in there encountering God. Oh, Lord, I want to encounter you. Dad, this is boring. Don't tell Pastor Corey that. It's not convenient. There's some things that we actually step into that are not convenient. And so don't have guilt and shame. Maybe there's a little bit of conviction the Holy Spirit's highlighting for you today. Go to him and say, Heavenly Father, I repent of not obeying you, but what are you asking me to do? And there's a couple of things that come to mind, but I don't want to put words in his mouth to you. Pray, pause, allow him to actually highlight that for you. But there's more to the experience than just your experience. Verse 9 says, wherever the river goes, every living creature that swarms will live, and there will be very many fish, for this water goes there, that the waters of the sea may become fresh. So everything will live where the river goes. Fishermen will stand beside the sea from Engedi to Inaglaim. It will be a place for the spreading of nets. Its fish will be of very many kinds. It's like the fish of the great sea. Friends, there is more to the experience in the presence of God than just this. He shows Ezekiel, I believe God wants to show us today, the presence of God, the things of God that we do experience and call to experience are actually meant to impact entire regions and areas. He specifically highlights geographical areas. Specific geographical areas that were impacted because the river flowed. I parked today and I was walking in, and it's cold. But I was walking and there was a stillness from where I parked. And as I began to get closer to the building, I began to feel a tangible sense of the presence of God before I even get into the building. What happens here is actually meant to impact out there. There is more of God for you to experience because there's more of God for them to experience. And now that you're at this point, this depth, all of us might be at different points of God, I'm here to tell you today that I'm standing in the fulfillment of prayer, but I'm actually going to declare that there's more. I was standing in a cafe across the road on Bridge Road after the first time we were here. I was standing in this cafe, St. James, and I literally started to get weak at my knees. Some of you are like, man, this guy really loves God. I do. You also need to know I really love control. And yet the tension of control and obedience is a fine line. But I'm in this cafe, and I'm at this point of tension. Because I'm sitting there and the barista's asking me a question, and I was with somebody else that's there, and all of a sudden my knees start getting weak like this. And so I like leaned over onto the whatever thing it's called, the counter, and the person's like, "You all right?" I'm like, "Yeah, I'm good." And then the person I was with is like, "You all right?" I'm like, "Yeah, I can just feel the power of God, the presence of God so tangibly right now." And I knew people were looking at me, but I didn't care. And I just closed my eyes, and in that moment of closing my eyes, what this picture that I had was this tsunami-like depth of God that was actually hitting the city of Melbourne. And at first, it was a tsunami that was actually coming from the ocean to the waves. But the moment I saw that, because I felt like God needed to help me to see, Son of Man, have you seen this? This wave, the tsunami that was hitting, it actually transformed from a tsunami in the wave, and it actually was busting out of the aqueduct that's under Richmond, where Richmond Temple was birthed. And this aqueduct of water blew up, and in that space, the entirety of Bridge Road was engulfed. It's like I looked outside the cafe, and all I could see was that we were underwater. It was unpassable. We were swimming in it. And then in that moment, it went boom, and it went all the way down towards Numa West. And then it went boom, and it went all the way down towards Numa East. And then it went boom, and it went all the way down to Numa South. And then it went boom. And I'm like, God, where's it going to go? Because there's no north location. And I saw it go all the way up to Sunshine and then just kept on going. And the moment I felt like God said, when my people are ready to not just walk into the river of my presence, but actually encounter me to a depth where they are so out of their control, I will then bring them to a point of perception for them to see that the river is actually going somewhere to impact regions and nations. I'm telling you, Numa South, today, there is more of God that other people need to encounter and they need to experience. See, we have not planted services in Numa San Francisco because there are people that don't need to just come into a building right now. They actually need the river to flow out of the building to the cafe all the way down Haight Street in Haight Ashbury, where people are doing drugs, they're going about their business, they're owning businesses. They need the river of God to flow. To flow. But it's not going to flow unless we actually flow with it, get in it, and then go with it. See, the thing about the temple of the Spirit of God is it was tangible. It was a building. It was a building. It was a building. Look around you. There's a building around about us. But in the New Testament, what does it say? It says, we are the temple of the Holy Spirit. We are the temple of God. You guys with me today? You with me today? And so the picture we need to have is it's not just this building, though there is a tangible atmosphere that has been set here that is overflowing to the point where I'm walking on the street, the road coming up to the library, and I can sense the things of God. And I came in here and I was wrecked. But now you are the temple. So the picture you need to see is it's not just where Pastor Steve and Pastor Candace go that the river flows. It's where you go, Paul. It's where you go, Michael. It's where you go. God's calling you higher to see there are entire regions and areas that he wants you to be a part of others encountering him. I want to ask today, when's the last time you encountered God so much so that other people encountered God through your life? There's more of the presence of God to be experienced. There's more of his presence than just your experience. And we need to hear today there is more because of his presence. Would you stand to your feet? I'm having fun today. You having fun? You having fun? Awesome. A bit intense, but I'm just, this is so tangible right now. Then he led me back to the bank of the river, it says. As I went back, I saw on the bank of the river very many trees, on the one side and on the other. And he said to me, this water flows towards the eastern region. It goes down into the Arabah and enters the sea. Listen to this. When the water flows into the sea, the water will become fresh. Verse 9, and wherever the river goes, every living creature that swarms will live. And there will be a very many fish. For, or because this water goes there, that the waters of the sea may become fresh, so everything will live where the river goes. Verse 12, and on the banks, on both sides of the river, there will grow all kinds of trees for food. Their leaves will not wither, nor their fruit fail, but they will bear fresh fruit every month because the water for them flows from the sanctuary, from the glory of God. God, from the presence of God. Because of that, their fruit will be for food and their leaves for healing. One of the greatest things that I get to hear on a monthly basis is when Pastor Steve or Pastor Candace speak about what God is doing here at South and what's happening here. And guess what? For a number of months now, there have been people that have surrendered their life to Jesus Christ. More than in the history of this church actually being planted, week after week, month after month, there is a many kinds of fish. Jesus said, follow me and I will make you fishers of men. There is something that God is doing tangibly here because you are actually beginning to not just walk into the river of God and perceive the things of God, but because of God. And yeah, I'm here to tell you today, there's more. There's more. It wasn't because of where Ezekiel walked. It wasn't because of the angel of the Lord. It says because of where the river went. And wherever it went, it became fresh. You need to know that wherever the Spirit of God leads you, it's actually meant to become fresh. It says the sea would become fresh. The only way to make something that's full of salt or of a substance different or fresh is that the amount that's going into it is greater than the amount that is in it. You hearing today? Stop cursing your workplace and just be fresh. Stop regretting the school you're in, the house you live in, the neighborhood you're a part of, even the relationship, maybe husband and wife, that you're in. Stop regretting where you are and choose to allow God to bring something fresh. The only way that which is of this world can be freshened is by the Spirit of God. So you and I need more of God because we leak. We give out. We minister. We need more. We need more. We need more. And because where the river flows, there's a freshness. Because where the river flows, there is life. It says, very many trees and all kinds. And those trees actually would have two things in them, food, nourishment, and healing. They'd bring nourishment and healing. Some of you have business ideas that I believe God's gonna redeem and restore for Kingdom Initiative that are actually gonna bring nourishment and healing. Nourishment and healing. Some of you might be accountants and you work with numbers or data entry. Nourishment, healing. There is more of God. There's more of God for you. There's more of God for others. And it will look like tangible divine moments of encounter. But we have to move past just the encounter. We need to be there, but we need to move past that, have eyes to see there's more to the presence of God than just an experience. But there will be more of God in our community because of His presence. And all of this is possible for you and I today only because of Jesus Christ. John 7 says, on the last day of the feast, the great day, Jesus stood up and cried out, if anyone thirsts, if, Holy Spirit is asking today, do you thirst? He says, if anyone thirsts, let him or her come to me and drink. I'm thirsty today. You thirsty? Whoever believes in me, as the scripture has said, out of his heart will flow rivers of living water. Rivers of living water. Some of you are experiencing the encounter of God, the presence of God in a area of your life. There's more of God to be experienced in every area of your life. Spirit, soul, body. We are tripart beings, creating the image of a triune God. Some of you experience the encounter of God in your spirit, but you need it in your soul. You're like, yeah, but I've given my life to Jesus Christ. My soul's saved. Yes, you've got the guarantee of things to come, but you may not be aware that your soul actually embodies your will. Who's making decisions for your life? Your intellect. You ready to encounter God beyond something you can explain? And your emotions. God wants to heal emotional strain today. Embody. Are you okay experiencing God leading you in your life to do this and to do that, and yet there's an area of your body you're like, yeah, but I don't know, can he heal? I'm not sure. Do I wanna fall down? Do I wanna do this? Submit yourselves, therefore, before God. He will raise you up. Now this he said about the Spirit, speaking of Jesus, whom those who believed in him were to receive. Because at that point, for as yet the Spirit had not yet been given, because Jesus was not yet glorified. But then, the day of Pentecost came, and suddenly, oh, Shiramaka, suddenly, you're preparing for singing and music and worship, and you come in and suddenly you're on the ground. You're going out to a meal with your family. You're really hungry. You've been fasting. You want something. You get a bit hangry. Get a little bit hangry. And then suddenly God says, pray for that person. You're like, ugh. The Holy Spirit came on the day of Pentecost. Suddenly they were in one place of full accord, praying and worshiping, encountering the Lord God. And then suddenly, that which was prophesied by Jesus and was prophesied by Joel, and he spoke into, there would be rivers of living water, not swamps and marshes from 3 years ago when you had an encounter with God. Living water. Some of you are actually living in a marsh of a move of God. And he's like, no, you need to move with me, God, because there's living waters. Living waters. If water's not moving, it becomes stale and yucky. Algae grows in there. He declared living waters. And then the day of Pentecost came, and boom, the Holy Spirit fell, and they all received an impartation of the Holy Spirit. It says they were filled with the Spirit. Tongues like fire came and rested upon each and every one of them, and began to speak in an unknown language. So much so that people thought they were drunk. Pneuma South, are you ready to be in a move of God where people look and they're like, he's drunk? Are they like other Christians, like, that's just hype? Or that's just emotion? Or that's just sensation? Are you ready to be so moved by God that people critique you and even oppose you? But guess what? On one day where there was a handful that were opposing them, there were 3,000 that came to know him. Come on, somebody. Some of us have been so put off by the perception of what people might say about us that we're forgetting that there's others that need to hear it so they can encounter him. It says Peter stood up in boldness. The man who fled and betrayed Jesus stood up full of the Holy Spirit in the midst of opposition, in the midst of a drunken-like moment, and he declared the word of God and said, we are not drunk. Sometimes there's moments to teach. Sometimes there's moments to just lead. Right now is a moment to teach you about the things of God, but right in just a second, in just a step, you're gonna actually have a moment to just come in to the river of God. He declared the word, and the voices of opposition were overcome by the voices of praise and adoration. One day of a suddenly of God, 3,000 people gave their life to Jesus Christ. If he's done it before, he can do it again. But guess what? Peter didn't just stand in the room that he was in. He went outside. He spoke to the voices of opposition. He didn't actually answer them to their question. He spoke out of the authority. The river that was in him began to flow. And in the flowing of the river, guess what happened? People jumped in. In just a moment, Daniel, Paul, some of us just need to like jump in and walk in. Peter was willing. He recognized there's more. Maybe, just maybe, almost 12 months to the day, God would lead a very undeserving, unqualified, unwise, the things of the world, son of his, to walk back into this room today, to speak to you and say, there's more. Daughter, there's more. God's healing some paradigms right now. Just because you've seen someone do something out of the flesh or out of hype or out of religion doesn't mean that there's not a true form of God, true presence of God. There's freedom in the room today. There is more of God's presence to experience. There's more to his presence than just your experience. And there will be more of his presence because you've walked it out and you're living, and for others to encounter him.
Thank you for joining us for this message today. We don't assume that every person listening has a personal relationship with Jesus Christ. And so today, we invite you to begin following Jesus as your Lord and Savior. The Bible teaches that every one of us has been created for a relationship with God. Sin has separated us from that relationship, but God loved us so much that he gave us his one and only Son, Jesus Christ. Jesus lived, died, and rose again, conquering sin, Satan, and death itself. If we believe in our hearts that God has raised Jesus from the dead, and we confess with our mouth that Jesus is Lord, we will be saved. So if you are ready to pray in faith, turning away from your sin and believing in Jesus for your salvation, please pray this prayer. Dear Jesus, I believe that you are the Son of God, and I ask you to forgive me and cleanse my heart from all of my sin. I receive by faith the free gift of eternal life, and I ask that you would fill me with the Holy Spirit. I thank you that I am born again as a child of God, and that you have made me a new creation in Christ Jesus. In Jesus' name I pray, amen. If you have prayed that prayer for the first time, we would love to know and help connect you to a local church in your area. You can contact us on our website, pneuma.church. Thank you for listening.